Welcome to South Haven Business Beat. Business and community leaders talk with us to provide invaluable resources to aid the business community.
Thank you for joining us for Season 2 of South Haven Business Beat. Our presenting sponsor is TJ Animation Workshop.
On the surface, an animated video can give viewers an overview of what your organization does or simply educate your audience on a topic. Under the surface, your content can pique a viewer's interest enough that they initiate contact with you, and hopefully, you come away with an opportunity. But how do animated videos accomplish these things? Animated videos are computerized images that move. With animation, we are able to put a heavy focus on the message that your viewer receives. We do this by reinforcing the audio with video. For example, if the goal of your animated video was to increase awareness about how you serve your customers, then we would create a video that shines a spotlight on the problem you solve, the solution, and the process you go through to get that solution. With the visuals being an animation, your viewers aren't going to want to take their eyes off the screen.
Contact TJ's Animation Workshop today. Call 662-590-8301.
And now here's your host, Aaron Kozort.
Hello, I'm Aaron Kozort, and this is another episode, a very special episode of South Haven Business Beat. We are here with the Bouchelon brothers, and we are going to talk about the history of South Haven, and they know it because they lived it.
In 1958, our dad, A.W. Bouchelon, went by Bush to a lot of his friends, was asked by the DeSoto County supervisors to help start up a DeSoto County planning and council.
Planning and Development Council,
right.
Which we know is the DeSoto County Planning Commission today. And he had no background in planning, but the supervisors knew him, knew of his integrity, and knew he knew a lot of people across the county. And in 1958, that was developed, started an organization by the supervisors, and he was the planning director for 19 years. Before he went on to be tax collector assessor. But I say that to say that from Dad's involvement in South Haven,
right,
as far as inspecting homes, being sure they were built based on electrical, plumbing, building codes,
right,
et cetera, is a huge part, not just Dad, but again, the visionary of people of where DeSoto County looks a lot different from surrounding counties. Nothing wrong with them, their counties. But the development and the zoning of putting things here, and it adds value here,
right,
to what we see infrastructure as far as roads and streets and schools and things of that nature played a big part of where South Haven began by Kerry White working for, who were the people at Holiday Inn?
You're talking about Wallace Johnson, Kenneth Wilson.
They were the people that first brought in development. Extending what was being done in Whitehaven across the state line, just a suburban area.
Right,
it was,
right.
It was strange that back in the early days of South Haven, people would go for Christmas or Thanksgiving, and it would be an isolated place.
Right.
Because people went back to their, young couples went back to their families. Interesting
sure.
time.
You know, it just highlights how when someone enables opportunity, when they work a plan, when they set a plan, when they don't just do things without thinking about it, they create opportunity, but they don't just create an opportunity in the present, they create opportunity in the future.
Right.
And it is important at every stage in the life of a community, a city, municipality, to have those plans being talked about, to have those opportunities and that a development mindset, because you're laying a foundation. And if the foundation's poorly laid, then you get a poor result.
Right.
But if you have someone who operates on integrity, you know, you look at so many situations in the lifetimes of ourselves where someone who was in that planning position didn't operate with integrity, and they destroyed the foundation of what everyone else was trying to build. And so having that idea of integrity first those county planners saw an opportunity with an individual who said, you know what, this person's going to operate on integrity, and we can build off of integrity. You get that opportunity to build long-term relationships. You get that opportunity to build long-term plans, and you get the opportunity to build a long-term community.
Right. So it makes the long start of where Southaven came from.
Well, yeah. Before Southaven started, not talking about nobody's business or nothing, but, you know, we had trailer houses down here on State Line Road. Had a junkyard up, two junkyards on 51 up here before you get to the curve up here mm-hmm. on top of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Then on down the road in Horn Lake, Olive Branch, the same way, was the big junkyard over there on 78 was a huge one. Anyhow, that's what you first saw when you came into Mississippi.
Gotcha.
And they wanted to change the impression of Mississippi by kind of setting guidelines for people
Absolutely.
To go by. Back in the day, Ms. Johnson, President Johnson's wife, she was in charge of the beauty, and that's when they come up putting the fences around junkyards.
Okay.
To hide them, you
right,
know.
Right,
right. And it grew from there, you know, making the state look good as they've come in, a town
right,
they look come
right.
in, it looked nice, you know. The housing, back in the day, a house was a shotgun house. You could shoot all the way through it, you know. But, the plumbing, all part of the convenience of a home.
Right.
Not to last several years, but a long time.
Right, right.
There's some houses here built back in, early 60s.
Yeah.
Right.
Over South Haven West, there's some houses built over less than $10,000.
Yeah, yeah.
Built over there.
Right.
And people had an opportunity to buy a house and pay a house note less than $50.
Right, right.
The house I had, it was a 2,000 square foot house, and it cost me $13,000.
Little change from today.
Yeah.
Little bit of change from today.
Note was $97.50. I mean,
which was a pretty good amount at that time.
That's right. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Right.
Well, and you know, you consider the changes in the economy, the value of the dollar, but also you think about. As you consider this, being on the border of Tennessee and
right.
being on the border of Mississippi and where Mississippi and Tennessee meet, what were some of the challenges or opportunities that existed for the city of Southaven because of that?
I would say some of the challenges would be education. You know,
right.
we had a large number of young couples moving into the area, DeSoto County, there were all going to school at Horn Lake High School, elementary school, because that was the only school in the area. John Grisham, who graduated from Southaven in, I think, 74 or 5, he was, most of his high school started in Horn Lake High School.
Right.
Till the Southaven High School opened in 73, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
So, we didn't even have our own schools here, obviously. And we were all dairy country at
right.
that point.
Sure.
It was just agricultural. And now we've grown to the third largest municipality in the state.
Absolutely. You know, it's been quite a journey. when I was growing up, lived in Olive Branch when I was around 13, 14 years old, and you go down Goodman Road and it was mostly farm. You know, you would leave Olive Branch
right.
and eventually you would arrive in South Haven. It's not like that anymore,
right.
is it?
Right. Right.
No,
it's all
no.
together. Horn Lake, same way.
Yes.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And I'm not sure what year, but Goodman Road, talking about Olive Branch, ended at Old Getwell, which is just on the east side of the Kroger store there.
Right.
And it did not go on over.
Right.
And so I'm not sure when he was
It didn't go to Pleasant Hill. You had to go around and come back up Pleasant Hill Road to Goodman Road, and then go to Olive Branch. We went across Goodman to Snowden Place.
Old Getwell used
to go down from the Snowden's old home down there.
Yep.
And then go take a left and go all the way to Pleasant Hill Road.
So you're talking about challenges, infrastructure.
Absolutely.
Rasco Road ended at Airways.
Mm-hmm.
Airways ended at Rasco, meaning it did not go all the way to Goodman Road.
Right.
It did not go east toward Greenbrook.
Right.
That's where it ended.
Yeah.
And when I built my office in 1984, State Line was a two-lane road at that time. Now it's five lanes. And I'm not sure. When Greenbrook was built in the 70s, subdivision, that was a huge, nice, wow.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
There was Greenbrook North and Greenbrook South. It's infrastructure. That
Absolutely.
Was one of the biggest changes. And they've done wonderful things over the years. My father, being planning director, fought for sidewalks in developments. But contractors and the expense it added to the house and et cetera battled him.
Yes.
And so we're not as good a pedestrian community as we could have been.
Right.
But
right.
we're seeing that being corrected.
Absolutely.
Even today.
Absolutely.
So anyway.
You know, as someone who lives in that Greenbrook area, that's where my family lives. We were very happy to be in that area. It's still a great neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And it's a quiet neighborhood except for FedEx flying overhead. But there's a lot of places around the city where it's quiet except for FedEx.
Well, right. I lived on White Ash, which is on the south part, by the ballparks, ball fields,
right.
Which started in their infancy, and that's when FedEx did not have the sound muffling engine. So you people said, how do you live? How can you sleep at night? You just get used to it.
That's right. That's right.
They were very loud.
Yes. We tell people, like, listen, we don't hear them unless you're outside. Now, if you're outside and you're talking on your cell phone, you just stop because you can't hear anything. Yeah. But you just learn to operate.
We're taking a second to thank our sponsors. Follow App. The Follow App is the long-term solution for networking, instantly connecting you to those frequently missed opportunities to find the right referral partner or new client to grow your business. Wisdom Integrators. Are you a business owner and is technology getting in the way of your business? If your computers are slow, your website is horrible, or your business needs more efficiency, then it's time to reach out to Aaron Kozort and Wisdom Integrators. Would you like to be a sponsor? Contact Debbie King at 662-342-6114 for more information. Be sure to share and subscribe for more business resources. Now back to South Haven Business Beat and host Aaron Kozort.
And it's interesting as you bring that up, you know, as changes happen, people adjust. People assimilate to those scenarios, and some people like it and some people don't like it. And some people assimilate well and some people leave. What are some of the things, some of the changes that you really think made a big difference in the city of South Haven?
Well, I was going to say a while ago when you was talking about the structure of South Haven and in all of DeSoto County. When my daddy started the planning commission for the county, he educated his own self basically by going to Memphis to see how their planning went. And then he went to other places where big cities were planning the future. And he built a structure for the county to follow, which the state, Mississippi State, picked that up, and they taught planning and developing at Mississippi State through his book that he put together. But But he was well known across the United States at these conventions they go to about having so much knowledge of it. But all of his knowledge was just what he put together for this county. And he lived this county. He loved this county. He fought for it. FBI tried to bribe him, you know, and he had him arrested. And this happened right there at Horn Lake. At,
where the Home Depot is.
I was going to say, tell me this story. what happened?
Well, you know, you were talking about integrity earlier, and there were some people in political positions in DeSoto County, not naming any names, that were subject to, overlooking things, mm-hmm. codes, and getting things pushed that Dad had to fight and struggle against. And he had people on his side, and so that's why we succeeded.
Right.
But there was a sting by the FBI about this bribery in DeSoto County, and there was I can't think of the juke joint on that property.
I don't either.
But they had a bar.
VFW.
Okay.
So what time frame was this?
We're talking about
1970s, early 70s, something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Fred Rogers was working in the Planning Commission with my father, and he had been approached about doing some things that weren't correct. You know, can you help us out? We're new to the area, mm-hmm. and we want to get this done, but, you know, we really don't need that expense for this or that.
Right.
I don't know all the details, but Fred reported back to Dad, and that just lit his fire.
Yeah.
And he met with them, and that's when, you know, he tried to have them arrested, and then that exposed who they were.
Exposed their game.
Yeah. They did bring down a couple of people locally, and it was unfortunate. They have wonderful families, and but some people just took the wrong avenue.
Right.
But Dad, going back to the word integrity, that's why I easily use that word on my father, is knowing some of the things that he could have done.
Absolutely.
That he just instinct was, no, that's not right. We don't do it that way.
Mm. Sure.
And there was a lot of people who said, yeah, we can do it that way. But anyway, that integrity was very important.
Well, and one of the things that you build when you build and operate off of integrity is you build opportunities that go well beyond yourself. I mean, you're someone who's operated a business in this city for decades now. Right. And that doesn't happen without integrity. That mm-hmm. doesn't happen without multi-generational integrity, because eventually if you don't have integrity, people find out, right. and your reputation is you don't have integrity, as opposed to building a reputation that you can build a business, you can operate, you can build a family off of, and you can help a city to grow as a result of that.
It gives you opportunities as a business person to give back into the community, whether you're buying advertisement from local schools or nonprofits, mm-hmm. Or Chamber of Commerce. I've been a member of the Chamber of Commerce since I became an agent in 1978, and just a wonderful, organization that always, in my mind, promoted what's best for the community.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I know Debbie King has talked about before is that the Chamber of Commerce was incorporated before the city was.
That's right.
And so the chamber where we're recording this right now has had a big part to play in the city. What are some things that you remember from some of the directors of the chamber in the past that made a difference, or events that the chamber did back in the history of South Haven?
Well, my biggest interest back at that time was the first was the JCs, in which we were built, pushed it for kids.
Right.
We
now those would be junior colleges,
adults is JCs, junior. It was for people 35 and younger, or 40 and younger.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. It was a civic organization like Rotary and whatever. They were just called the JCs.
Oh, okay.
And this is where people like Vernon McCammon, his brother Danny McCammon, were volunteer fire department.
Town involvement.
Right.
We built a JC building.
Okay.
Over in Brookhaven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we built a swimming pool over there.
Yes.
It was to entertain youth. Mm-hmm. We used to have a band that come played over Saturday night over there.
Right.
You know, and that's what you did. And we took that money and developed that JC building,
mm-hmm.
bought the land, just developed the swimming pool. You know, to give the kids something to do.
Right.
And it gave the young people in the town something to do to strive to help the community too. It's nothing but a community organization.
Right, right.
And the chamber developed out of that. Yes, that's where the chamber developed out of the
that's where it came from.
Interested people.
Yes.
Mm. And we need a chamber of commerce, you know. And what, 1970? I forgot what year chamber started. I know Gene Dolly was one of the first employees of the chamber,
right.
Like full-time employees,
right.
And you'd have civic leaders like Wendy Brown, others that would be president, athletic.
I can't think of his name.
Should have my notes. But anyway, just wonderful people that men and women. Mrs. Garner was, Red Garner was the president.
Ms. Mildred.
Ms. Mildred Garner was president of the local Bank of Mississippi.
Right.
Down here. And just, you know, all of those people were people who became members of this, you know, South Haven Chamber.
Right. So.
Join us next week for the final part of the history of South Haven with Barry and Peck Bushelin.
Please visit www.southhavenbusinessbeat.com for more episodes. We would like to thank the following sponsor.
Pure Focus Media exists to make high-quality media accessible to all businesses, regardless of their size or budget. We believe that every business deserves to have its story told with clarity and creativity, and we are here to bring that vision to life.
This podcast is brought to you by the South Haven Chamber of Commerce. We know relationships create commerce. Want to join the South Haven Chamber? Visit www.southhavenchamber.com. Be sure to share and subscribe. Thanks for watching.